You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey, heroes, welcome back. Matt and Ez here talking, probably not our last time about season one, episode eight. But, you know, Ez, we were on here actually the other day and we were talking about some of the looking back at some of the comments about the season and stuff like that. And a lot of people are bringing this up. People have been messaging me about this. And then I went and looked it up on Reddit. There's an Instagram, some stories to go along with this as well. So this is, I'm just going to read the quote, just or the transcript here. This is from Sarah Nakamura. We've talked about her before. She's the sort of the consultant and is the, I guess if you want to say like lore master in Star Wars, they have story group, right?
Right.
Some of those people that work on some of these things. So here we go. So she says, "So in December, I thought it'd be a really great time to take a step back from social media and just focus on my family, relax, unplug. It was wonderful. I turned off all notifications for social media and had only a very select few people who can actually reach me via text. She's like, you know, it was amazing. Best decision I've made in my whole life. But then I turned on my Instagram notifications. And I guess I don't know exactly when this was. Looks like it was about 4 days ago. So that would have been like Monday or so of this week. So she says, and stuff is still coming through about episode eight is cracking me up. She's like, some people are so pressed about episode eight there. They're coming for my throat. And I find it absolutely hysterical, to be perfectly honest, because it's all men. And I guarantee you that if I were a man, they would not be coming at me with the same energy, because granted, they are not going after any of the other people that may have helped to provide support for this show with that same energy. Guaranteed that it's not happening. So I'm finding that absolutely hysterical. And just the fact that I'm not bothered. I'm so proud of episode eight. The end of the eye of the world is difficult from a book perspective. And so how about how we wrapped everything up? Well, hitting some of the peaks of the scene, and when it comes to the confrontation at the eye, I felt we were right on the money. We also planted a lot of seeds within that whole episode that will bear fruit in the coming seasons. And I feel like it was done deftly and surgically, and we just kind of let things to grow. I am so thrilled with all of that, but man, some of you guys really need to take a deep breath, relax, and think twice about coming after a stranger on the internet. For those of you asking, I sleep very well at night, and I'm really proud of the work that I do and support that I provide. But gonna need for people that are questioning me to look up the meaning of consultant. and also the meaning of advice. I am not a producer, bottom line. I am not a producer. I can't make anything do anything, and I don't let the things happen because I am not a decision maker. I provide support, I advise, and fight battles that maybe feel like I need to fight. And just to wrap this up, I am all in on the outline of the visions of the vision and what is happening for the show. I am fully sold on all of season one, and I am committed to the story that we're telling and how we're telling it. And at the end of the day, super, super happy with all of it. And I support our showrunner with my full heart and kindly thank you. No, I will not be killing myself. So stop asking. So she posted it on Instagram, on an Instagram story. If you go to Reddit, somebody has like made a video of it. It's like about 4 minutes. And then, of course, you can read just the transcript if you want as well. So, I mean, first of all, the internet's response to this, and I think actually even my initial response to this and sort of just reading it, to me, it felt like at my first read that she was saying she was getting more criticism than anyone else. And I think that's sort of the way the internet has perceived it. But like going back and really reading it word for word and kind of seeing what she's saying.
Yeah.
It feels like more so what she's saying is that any of the other people who do support for the show, so not necessarily Rafe, who's clearly been getting from the fans. So first read through, I was like, hold on, what is she saying here? Because it sounds like she was saying she was getting more criticism than Rafe. But I think like what she's really trying to say here is like she's getting more criticism than anyone else of the support staff.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is that, first of all,
first of all, nobody should ever receive a death threat for any reason whatsoever.
I mean,
unless you're like a terrorist, then obviously, I mean, okay, then I get that.
Yeah. You know, the thing, like if it's criticism, cause our initial reaction is just
Like I was highly critical of episode 8.
We watched episode 8 and I loved episodes 1-7. Loved it. Loved episode 1. Rafe wrote episode 1. I loved it. And I thought it was phenomenal. Episode 8, it wasn't that I really thought it was bad. It just all didn't, you know, sync together for me and didn't have all those moments that I thought it was going to have. And I guess I had, that's the first time as a book reader that I was like, man, the ending to The Eye of the World is what just drove me right on through to the next book. I was like, I've got to read the next book. Like, this was so epic, I guess. And there was like an epic moment at the end with the female channelers that was really, really cool. But it was this new character that we didn't know. I was like, it's going to be Egwene or Nynaeve. They're going to lead this whole thing. But again, I know we're working on scaling them up or whatever. But yeah, that it just wasn't there. So I think, you know, to be critical of writer or showrunner or whatever, that is okay. Give them some feedback, you know, and the critics came out, Rotten Tomato. You get all these different folks coming out, rating individual episodes, rating the season as a whole. We have a great live stream later on today where we're going to talk about season one as a whole. And my overall is, I think I gave it an A. I think I gave it like a 9 out of 10. And then I was like, I could be talked down after that last episode to like,
I gave it a C.
Yeah. So, but the, you know, Sarah is not, she really, the crazy thing is that Rafe has on Twitter and people who follow it has elevated her, which as he should, like, she's very important to the show. She should be happy and proud and success. Like, this is awesome. She's working on, like, she's a book fanatic and she gets to work on her show. Like, that's pretty cool. But did she make any of the decisions? No, she didn't make any of those decisions. That's radical for people to even be coming at her.
So it's unfortunate that
the perception came out that like, because that's what people were taking away from it. And as you were pointing out in Reddit in the comments, is like that she was saying she was getting more heat than a showrunner. Not that she said that, but that's what the perception was.
Yeah, I think it's sort of the way that it's read, because it feels like she uses the word support, I think, it's kind of tied in there shortly, even though she does later on to go on and elaborate more about the I'm a consultant, I don't really have nearly as much say as you think I do. It sort of comes across because that's certainly the way I read it at first, and I was like, well, hold on a second, what is going on here? But it's clearly the way that everyone is perceiving it, But remember, for starters, I don't think that really anybody, any other big sort of consultants for the show have really received any sort of claims or anything.
They?
I mean, right, exactly. We don't necessarily know who they are because Rafe hasn't talked, but Rafe has specifically talked in a lot of his, you know, Ask Me Anythings on Instagram and Twitter about Sarah Nakamura. In fact, you know, one of the things we talked about, actually, I think it was in our last episode, was there's another on the same exact same. So I saw this on Reddit initially, but it was on Twitter and Instagram. There's actually another Reddit thread that was posted just a few days before, to be honest, and it's called "Let's Not Blame Sarah Nakamura: Evidence She Fought the Good Fight Against Rafe." This is on the Wheel of Time Reddit, but there's also like a WOT Reddit, which is the bigger one, and these all have like over, you know, 30 to 40,000 people in them. And so, you know, because one of the things Rafe said about in one of the very early Ask Me Anythings was he was actually making jokes about how he would send her. Let me see if I can find it. You know, I have Sarah Nakamura on here. He's like, there's moments when a thrilled room of writers would go, "We've cracked it. It's amazing." But can insert book canon person / place thing be inserted with a different non-canon idea? And Sarah's resounding would either stare, you know, she would do like withering stare at us, would tell us to go back to the drawing board, or, you know, find something else. And then another one is he talks about her, and this is where really I think most of the internet, it was defending her as opposed to Rafe, which is because he's the showrunner and he wrote the episode that everybody really didn't like. Which, again, first of all, let me just say, like, one bad episode.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's tons of shows I've watched where I'm like, that episode's kind of like, everyone blasted Stranger Things. What is it? Season 2 episode. Remember the one where it's just 11?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everyone blasted it. But that doesn't mean the show's still amazing. Like, the whole thing is amazing. It doesn't mean one bad episode or whatever doesn't change a whole thing. I mean,
no.
So he says, I have Sarah talk me through the long-term ramifications of any changes so that we know what's going to happen. Sometimes to drive her crazy, I'll send her a casual email that's like, hey, can you work up a long-term ramification list if we kill Tom? And just keep going like it's a total normal day and she collapses as a human being. Then tell her we're not going to kill him. I think it helps keep her on her toes, but she probably disagrees. Ha ha. So like he sort of plays it off as a joke, but I think that's where a lot of the critical response to this is coming from, is it's like, if anything, people have been defending you and blasting Rafe, but then the comments came out and it felt like she was saying she was receiving more criticism than even Rafe, who everyone has been blasting. So I mean, that's, if you really read the fine text, that's not what she's saying. She's saying of people who are in support.
Yeah.
Like the supporting roles are, she is receiving the most, which I'm sure, for a handful of reasons, probably because she's the most, I guess, visible, or at least has been made the most visible. But then, you know, she does use the language like it's mostly men, which again, I'm sure it probably is. I'm fine with that. But I think that's also just, I felt like it was adding fuel to the fire is what it looks like, certainly to the internet's response.
Yeah, here's something. So when I put up her Twitter and things, and you know, part of this is, it's really interesting because it's a book series where she's a consultant, and Rafe mentions her as the showrunner so much, which is cool. This is cool that he has a consultant, and she mentions herself so often. Like she just said, Rafe and I had a break from social media at the same time. You know, right at the end after episode 8, and so it's kind of like they are this team, as if like he's the showrunner, right? And
that's the way it's portrayed to the people,
and I think sometimes people get that wrong, and that's where she was trying to clear up, right? Like, she's just a consultant, she doesn't make any decisions, because the writers, there's tons of I just looked up all the writers for this show, the Clarkson twins, Dave Hill, Celine Song,
Dave Hill wrote for Game of Thrones,
Justine Gilmer, Catherine McKenna, Amanda Schumann. Rafe wrote 2 episodes. Amanda Schumann wrote 2 as well. Interesting. I mean, you have all these different people that have to work together. They're the writers writing this thing, and then your directors are just coming in. The more I learn about like TV and film and movies and how things all work together, it's it's wild that all these, you know, they have to write the dialogue and what happens with directions, and then right. directors have to make, you know. So it's interesting. But yeah, it's unfortunate that people are what I don't like, and one of the things that I saw when we were doing kind of our live reaction was that if I didn't like episode 8, that meant something about that I didn't like their decision in regards to how they divided things among male and female. And that,
right.
And that is
That's
what
was the case
on our stream. Like, cause you could watch my initial reaction, every other one where we did like a live watch, we did those live watch. I came out, I was like, let's go. I mean, Nynaeve doing her thing, every, like the land Nynaeve stuff, like huge Nynaeve fan. I was so pumped, maybe because Nynaeve almost died. I came out of it kind of like, huh? Oh no. You know, like I didn't, that's my authentic reaction. And I came out of it like that. 1 through 7, I freaking loved, and people were giving those a lot of heat. So it's just kind of shocking to me to feel like, I don't know, almost like what's wrong with me because I didn't like one episode out of 8. Whereas there are parts of episode 8 that I did like, you know what I mean? I thought the way they did right. the horn was kind of interesting. I wish we would have referenced it. I didn't even know that they were going to bring it up, because now that they, I mean,
right.
people are now asking that question. There's a lot of cool things. I think that's some of the stuff Sarah said that they planted in here, things that are going right. to bear fruit later on, but they're still confusing to your main viewer going, what is that all about? Which is fine. Right. You know, that's all right. But yeah, I just felt like I am not allowed to have a problem, or if I do have a problem with any one particular episode, it's going to be chalked up to how they allotted screen time or roles in the books, or how they moved them around. And okay, so it's not, it doesn't stop there, right? It's in regards to gender.
Right.
And that's the extra layer that it's like, I might say, oh, I wish they would have had Nynaeve do this and let her do what she did in the books, and they changed it. And well, you know, that's the kind of stuff I want to kind of steer. I just look at them as different decisions and moving stuff around. And the cool thing about Robert Jordan's series is that there are so many epic people. If you really read the series, you know that the female channelers, Rand and the Taverans and all that stuff, they all work together. They all have their epic moments. It's always the women's circle versus the village council. For, you know, there's this back and forth, there's this right. struggle, there's these epic power moments, putting people in place, and then they work together and they have to come together. That is the coolest part to all of it. So it's really, when Matt and I criticize, the only critique I think we've really given after episode 8 was more just like how you used your screen time and where the story was given. You brought up the whole step-in situation and brought up, you know, I mean, one of Matt's biggest things is you gave a warder more screen time than we felt like he needed to have necessarily, and that you didn't build up, you right. know, more of the Dark One or more of like what was going on between, like Egwene. I mean, when Egwene has her moment,
she gets lost this whole season.
I feel like, yeah, I'm like, man, because I love Nynaeve. I'm partial to Nynaeve. I just have always been a fan of hers in the book as a character. But I want to see, I know where Egwene's arc goes, and I want to see that really just take off. And I get that it's got to be, you know, I guess if I'm going to, like, my critiques are always, like, I want more. I want it all. Get right. give me 10 episodes. Why aren't they 2-hour episodes, Matt? You know, like, I mean.
Right.
So, you know, but I feel bad the one time where we start to say, episode 8, not so good. Our comment section was lit up with like, dude, you guys have problems with the fact that they gave some of that stuff to Rand's role to the female channelers. No, I mean, it's really
I would say that
I think you can right. do that and still make Rand do what he needs to do. Like it
right.
now to diminish Rand to do that, I think it takes away from who the dragon is, right? And all that kind of stuff. They both can be at this level, and that's what we wanted.
Yeah, I think the problem in that particular episode was we spent the entire season building up the dragon to be this sort of important role and character. And then in the books, it's Rand as the dragon who does it and uses it, and then it's the lightning that ends up killing right everything and sort of saving the day. So the problem was, though, it's just that Rand using, you know, the Angreal and then blasting mm-hmm. the Dark One, it didn't feel as impactful as what the women were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm fine with, hey, you're gonna split it up and you're gonna change it there. But then it right, because right now it feels like the dragon's not even that big of a deal. I think, well, that's where a lot of people have an issue. Yeah. Even though, because I guess it's just the way they kind of portrayed it, because we see Nynaeve in episode 4, basically, you know, awesome. Super Saiyan and Spirit Bomb.
Yeah.
You know, Spirit Heal everyone. And it's like, oh, okay. So everyone's thinking, is she the dragon?
Yeah.
Even Loghain is questioning it. But then when Rand finally gets his moment, which we've been building up to be like, we've said, oh, that it, the dragon's power is so far beyond anything you could possibly imagine. So then when we see it, he has to even use a, you know, Sangreal to do it. It just didn't feel as significant. And then you gave a moment that is Rand's to the women mm-hmm. to do. I think that's where, I mean, I'm sort of like fine with it. I get the idea, but it's just Rand's didn't feel as significant. And then part of his was given away. And so it felt like, I think where people are coming or saying this is that it's like right now it does feel like being the dragon isn't really that big of a deal.
Yeah. Well, and even the idea that he had Nangreal, right. That Nynaeve didn't need any, I mean, it was her passion and her love for land and all that kind of stuff that really causes her to do all of that. The fact that you give, I mean, Rand had to magnify, like that was something he could pull more of it, the power of thrill. And I felt like when they handed that him, I thought, oh, I thought he was going to go off. Like he was going to handle him, bounce over here, do all this stuff. Like he could have even been a part of the whole, like a second wave could have come and the channelers could have been exhausted and he could have stepped out. Like, and I mean, this is where I wish they had more time, right? Is that like, let's say they do all of that channeling stuff and it's all happening and they've defended the best they can, but the city might fall and Rand just travels and he just appears out of the haze and the mist. And now you did give him a Sangreal. Let's go then. Okay, fine. I mean, I don't think you need it, but like he pops over there and it looks like they're in trouble. Like all is lost. And then he's also there at the same time. I mean, it would have been crazy. And both would have been epic, you know. And then it makes like the dragon is that much more important. But they might still be going with this whole idea that the dragon is split in five souls, or that it's going to take all of them, type of thing. I mean, we still don't know if that's what they're doing. But like you said, it's the dragon bit is still confusing, and maybe that's the whole point. They're trying to downplay it for now because I don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, I still have a lot more issues with episode 8 in general. I mean, to me, it didn't. I you know, I guess I kind of forgot even that Rafe wrote that episode until I looked at it. But it didn't matter to me because I.
Yeah, we didn't know who wrote. Yeah,
right. Right. It doesn't matter. So, but I'm fine with. I think a lot of the problem is that a lot of people feel like, oh man, they see one bad episode and they're like,
it's over, shut it down.
Season 2 is gonna get canceled. It's like they've already been greenlit for season 3. Okay.
Yeah,
like
it's going to be great.
These people don't even, a lot of these people just view and they don't know what they're talking about. But again, just because I dislike one episode or even vehemently dislike one episode doesn't mean the show, like I'm not going to stop watching the show altogether and, you know, whatever. I've said this 100 times is that to me, The Witcher season 1, it was a little rough. The Witcher season 2, they actually stray from the books.
Yeah.
But it's a great product. So like you can, my thing is you can stray, like every comic book movie strays so far away from the source material. It just does its own thing. Like you can stray entirely away from the source material. But the problem is it has to work. Because if it doesn't work, then you can point back. And I think you said this as you said, you were given a roadmap. Here's how here's how you get there. Now, if you know shortcuts to get to the end and it's a faster route, a better route, I'm down.
Right.
But if I gave you the directions and you didn't follow it, well then.
Right. And even if you want to stop along there's a roadmap to the end goal, but even if along the way, because what I did like about season 1 is they showed us stuff that we didn't, you know, on your first road trip through Robert Jordan's series, right? You stopped at certain points and he said, we have to stop here. Here's a side quest. We're doing this. Rafe is saying, hey, there were other side quests that went on that we will show you while that, what like that, that happened. Like the women's, I go back to the women's circle, seeing stuff there, seeing Beltane, all of those things. You're hoping we get a freaking Cooladin showdown between Matt. Like those, yeah, they happened. We weren't shown them in the first roadmap. That's fine. Show us those. I'm down for that. But
yeah, there's stuff in the original source material that I don't think is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean,
do we need like 30 circus chapters? No, we do not.
Right. Should Cooladin have been killed on screen? On page?
Yes, yeah, he should have. I mean, right? And so again, so like I'm fine with a good, as long as the adaptation criticism is good. Yeah, criticism is fine. That in fact, it's good. I mean, look at The Witcher. The Witcher looked at the fan criticism and they said we're going to fix it. And then everyone's talking about how much more they like season two, except for the book people who are like, oh, they're straying away from the books. I've read the books and
you can't please everybody. Yeah,
I'm fine with it. Yeah, because it's still great. As long as it's good television, I don't care. It's like the, you know, 12 diehards out there that are like, Lord of the Rings trilogy isn't as good as the books. Okay.
Yeah.
It just won the most amount of awards of any movies ever. Yeah, so like deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and that's the thing too. What is unfortunate, and this happens in Star Wars, which we cover, this happens in a lot of different fandoms where people for some reason. So the one thing you can take away from what Sarah said is like to go make death threats to people, get a life. Like get a life. That is so ridiculous. So, and that's just people. I don't know if they're drunk and they're just on a, they have some handle and they think they can just fly off and say whatever. I think it's much more better just to go out on your Twitter. And if you didn't like it, say it. There were other Wheel of Time content creators who were like, huh, like it was a head scratcher for some people. And it's the only one that really you and I were kind of like both together that we both said kind of like a bit of a head scratcher. And that doesn't mean that I don't want to see Nynaeve and Egwene and all those other females like elevated in some way.
They should be.
If they because follow the roadmap, they will
they're
be. If they,
they're Tavirin in the show. That's already, they, I mean, that's already like some people think it's cooler. Some people don't because, you know, whatever, then it's their accomplishments and all that stuff. But no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, they actually did it in episode 8 because in episode 1 they show you the women of this town aren't going to put up with Trollocs coming in. That's cool. But then in episode 8, I mean, this was actually one of my criticisms, but at the same time it's kind of cool. I guess it's kind of cool is where the women of Faldar are going to protect the city. Well, no, actually it's just going to be 5 women who can channel that are going to protect this city. Yeah. So, but then they gave you this cool moment where they use a bunch of lightning and summon it all together and blow away like an army of Trollocs. I mean, it was a cool moment. It was cool. Right.
And Matt,
did it have some also problems that came along with it that you're going to have to address or fix or change? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And here's the thing, buddy. I mean, we know this because during our live stream, like some people were saying what I referred to earlier about like implying or insinuating that my issue or whatever, or our issue was that like it had to do with men versus women type of thing.
Right.
I didn't like, because there are tons of people who loved it. And we started as we went along and we had Sir Ryan come on and I was just like, so cool. Another perspective, another watch and all these different things. What is unfortunate is that like, whether it's Kathleen Kennedy or Sarah Nakamura or someone else, like criticism's okay. It's just, it is unfortunate that like, whatever the energy is or whatever's being felt, or like I want to feel comfortable being able to, and I get that they're saying to us that hey, the criticism is too energetic, it's too skewed, like they're seeing a skewing of it that is blasting female content creators, and I don't like that. I don't want them to feel that way. Hope that is, they're saying it's the case, and so that sucks. And then you look at the perception and I'm like, I want to be able to be critical about that episode, but and just because it's my opinion, we have a little YouTube channel. We love talking about it, you know? And we want it to be better. Like we rooted for the show so hard. And those first 3 episodes, I remember people were coming in like, people were losing their minds, right? By episode 4, people I was working with at school were like, this is back on. Like, at this point, I just have accepted by episode 4. And this is, I'm talking about people who I work with at the school, teachers and such and principals who were reading and who had read and who were watching the series were like, I'm in. It's different. It's an adaptation and it takes people time to kind of accept that, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, look, at the end of the day, ultimately, it's the show is judged by reviews. It's judged by viewership. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I do feel like there's an overwhelming episode 8 was pretty overwhelmingly criticized.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to people who didn't, I mean, I was one of them. Yeah. You know, I mean, but again, you look at, I look at a lot of shows. I think a lot of shows, season twos are way better. It will also be less impacted by COVID because, again, this season one was like filmed like right when like COVID was hitting hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I just saw on Daniel Henney's Instagram or Twitter or something that they were just wrapping up season two.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Filming.
Cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we have to wait and see season two to see, are they going to take fans' criticisms and change it?
Yeah.
If they don't, and it continues to get bad reviews like episode 8 did, well, then the show will be canceled. And then
right.
The people who didn't like it will have been right. I mean, you have yeah. to, you do have to adapt Matt. to the criticisms and make a good product. I mean, that's the thing. You're judged by every episode. So I feel like they got 7 right and 1 wrong, but that's fine. That's just, it's one of, you know, I mean, it's one of 8 that I didn't like.
I think
half the season was like episode 8, then okay. Well then I feel very differently about it.
Right. So I guess here's what I'm trying to say, too, is like you have Patty Jenkins, who did the Wonder Woman movie. Right.
Right.
And then
she did Wonder Woman and she did Wonder Woman 1984.
Right. And so I think a lot of people came out like if you're a person, he says Wonder Woman is fantastic. He loved it. It was fantastic.
I did. Love Wonder Woman.
And then so she directs it. And then she comes back again and you've got Gal Gadot, all of it. But a lot of people critically did not like the next one. And
it was me. I was in that group.
Right. So what I'm saying is that like it didn't, you know, it's not like when you're critical of the product, it has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman or anything. You know what I mean? It's just that like, well, I liked the first one and I just didn't like the story for the second one. And that's gone away. That almost can't. It feels like sometimes I know why, because there's too much. There is too much of this like hate thrown around, and a lot of it gets thrown because you have I get it. There is a overwhelming amount of men who are just super like, let's go on here and you see it on YouTube comments, and they're the loud spoken kind of get out there in your face type of thing. And so when you criticize Patty Jenkins or whoever for that next Wonder Woman movie, even though you were praising it beforehand, you fall into this massive group of people that were hating Wonder Woman to begin with that also went to the next one and hated it too. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, exactly. Yes. There are definitely people who just love, I mean, there's 100% people out there. Yes. Who just,
and it's hard to distinguish yourself like from them. That's what we're trying to do. Like, cause like that's,
I mean, Wonder Woman's like, and I'm a Batman fan, but Wonder Woman's like the star of the
DC, my God,
universe. I mean, like,
I know
every time she shows up on the screen, she's just wrecking people. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that first movie was so freaking good that it was.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike the other one. It was just different. Yeah, you know, it's very.
I very disliked the second one.
Very disliked it. Yeah.
Well, to me, like I think some of it just goes to like Wonder Woman 1 for me is like that's a
so
top.
Good.
That's like, it's especially for like solo superhero movies. That's in my top 5 for just like a solo, not like a team like Avengers or anything, but just like solo.
Yeah.
The second one, oh man, I don't know. I mean, it's better than like Batman and Robin, but it's pretty low for me.
Yeah. 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 And again, that's the same people kind of working on it and stuff. And it's just like, you know,
there were different writers between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you know, you look at that too. That's where I talked about, like, that's where people though get in trouble laying like they want to lay all the praise on her for the first one, and then on the second one they want to lay all the blame, you know. And then, but you're looking at like the writers, right? So what's his name, Zack Snyder?
Well, unfortunately the problem with that one is that Zack Snyder wrote like the first one and then Patty Jenkins wrote the second one,
right? So, and so okay, so
Patty
that's
Jenkins
okay.
also directed both of them.
Yeah,
but so the criticism for the second one I think is fair to lay a little more on her shoulders
if you think
she wrote it.
Yeah, so she wrote and directed it. And people didn't like that as much, right? But let's move to the Kathleen Kennedy example then, which is what I was mentioning earlier, which is like people want to trash Kathleen Kennedy because she's involved with the sequels, but no one will give her credit for Mandalorian, Rogue One.
Right.
You know, and I say no one being an exaggeration, but
well, like, I think she should. I think she should. I think,
but that's my point.
But I think she should also
distinguish those two things. People who like try to say, like, this person was involved, and like whenever it's bad, they want to lay it at her feet. Right. But then when it's good, they don't want to give her the praise. That's the problem. And then like people like us get, when we just want to be critical about decisions like writing, or was it the score, or was it the whatever? And you know, that's where you got to get a bit more like, when in episode eight, did you think it was the writing? Did you think it was the directing, like the cutting and how things were cut up? Because the director of this episode, people want to lay all this criticism at Rafe, but like episode 7 was directed by the same person and episode 8. So the writers changed. Is that was that the problem? Was it the writing? You have the same director, or like, did that director make a mistake? Like, or were there things that were cut up differently and choices that were made? Right. We don't freaking know, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. A lot of my problems with episode 8 just came from the fact that I think a lot of the stuff they had tried to set up throughout the season didn't pay off, or it came in at the end, like Padawn Fain, I don't feel like was done well enough in the season for it to, it felt like, who's this guy again?
Right.
This is from like, I mean, obviously I know who he is. But in talking to like family members and stuff, who had people, you know, friends and stuff that are like, that know we podcast, and they're like, oh man, I watched Wheel of Time. And then they came to me, all, I mean, different people, different groups that all have talked to me about it independently have all come to me with a lot of the same questions. So clearly a lot of this stuff went over the heads of show watchers only. So to me, that I view that sort of as it failed. You didn't set stuff up well enough, but again, it's fine. Like,
right.
Tom Brady's had a bad game before, guys. Like,
right.
It's okay. Okay. Bill Belichick once, you know, like I think it was 4th and 12 on like his own 18-yard line, try to pass and then lost to the Colts. Like, even the greatest of the greats sometimes have bad decisions.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And I think the Padawn Fain, though, so just to highlight that one example, and this is where a showrunner thing is interesting, right? Rafe is a showrunner. He brings in these different people. He has to look at stuff and say, he has to trust the directors and the writers to get this right. And he oversees the whole product. So, because that's over a series of episodes, that decision, multiple different writers, multiple different directors. And if they don't know the payoff, that is Rafe's job to over kind of see that thing, right? That's our whole problem with the sequels. That's where the success for The Mandalorian is given to Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, because Jon Favreau, I should just stop there, because she's the showrunner.
I think he and Dave Filoni.
Well, again,
I think they're both.
He's credited as a producer, right? But like, I think Jon Favreau is supposed to be the showrunner, you know, but like Dave is there, you know, Dave is learning from Jon Favreau, but people love the benefit that he's there because he's a Star Wars guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
But again, if that goes south, what I will hate to see is people say, you know, and no one will, because they've corrected it. Now, Kathleen has made a step where she said they're the showrunner.
Right.
Now, that's why they get the success, which I understand. But at the same time, it was also a good decision that she set them up as the showrunner. So back to our showrunner here, Sarah Nakamura shouldn't even be in this conversation.
It seems like Rafe goes to her and asks her like stupid questions, like, can we kill Tom Marilyn off? To me, that's slacking off, Rafe. Why aren't we working hard? Okay. Yeah. It sounds like you're hardly working.
Well, I mean, yeah. So again, a little comedy there for you guys, but like, that's like, if we're going to, cause we, you know, that's one
facts,
decision we have.
Yeah.
But, or facts in one case. But so when I don't think she's making the decisions about Padawn Fain and these different things. So when something doesn't tie together, what's really interesting about being the final episode of season 1, episode 8, is that like all these things that Matt, that we've talked about, we did a big stream about season 1 as a whole, things that didn't work. Somebody has to oversee all that, make sure that they make sense, that the writers are all talking, they're in a writer's room. And that they understand where things are going to go. And that's just tough when you have multiple people, multiple cooks in the kitchen, and but you need to. As a big project like this, you have to divide the work up and make it all work and then oversee it. It is a task. And so again, it's okay right. if one thing didn't really pay off or whatever. But it was a couple things in season 8, which we've alluded to and mentioned, and we hope they fix it. We hope the things are gonna be
her job first of all is to say yes or no, this will work, or here or whatever. But just because she says yes or no doesn't mean that that's the final straw.
Yeah.
Rafe can say, well, too bad.
Yeah, Brandon Sanderson, who finished the series, disagreed with Rafe on various things. And Rafe
including episode 8.
Yeah, and went ahead with their adaptation. So okay, that's all good and well.
Right. Part of the thing is that the people who
and were, so maybe Sarah's the, saying the di- no one's blaming Brandon Sanderson for them not taking his advice. I mean, but that's not what was clear. That's not how it's perceived or how it was brought in, like right. supporting people, because we don't know who those supporting people are. We know her as the only supporting consultant or whatever. I don't, you know.
Right. Because he's yeah. Really.
Does she mean the writers?
Right. Yeah. Well, here, one more quote here. So this was another one. So that was in that thing. It says, every writer receives a document when they begin their script put together by our book expert, Sarah, that breaks down every scene in the episode and gives specific dialogue and scene references from the books for it. Especially for scenes that aren't from the books at all, we will find scenes from the books with the same characters together or talking about the same thing thematically. That said, predictably, almost all the dialogue in the show is not from the books, so as to sound as natural as possible with our locations, actors, scenes as they're played. So, it's like she's basically she's like the Dave Filoni, I guess, where it's like you can ask Dave Filoni any question about Star Wars and he can tell you on the spot because he's just like
it's a huge help.
I almost feel like Filoni, as crazy as it's gonna sound, knows more about Star Wars than Lucas. At least I'm sure he does, actually, in terms of expanded universe.
And because
George Lucas I wrote the main movies. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, George.
Yes, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, it'd just be impossible for him to keep track of all that when he's like the CEO of a company.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you can say, hey, could this work? And you could say yes or no. But again, it's if the decision is this isn't going to do it. Now, she did say she's fully on board with the way they went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm not, but that doesn't mean that, other people aren't, or that. Some people really loved episode 8. Some people,
And that's okay. And that's
right. And then again, we also have to see season 2 to see how are a lot of those things going to play out and work. Is it going to be cool? Is it not?
Yeah.
I'm willing to give any show 2 seasons.
Yeah. Right.
You've got it. Right. You've got to have me by the end of season. Cause season one's whole goal is to get a season 2. Then usually you have a bigger budget. Because they've said yes or no, because so many shows fail in season 1 that companies aren't willing to put a bunch of money into. If it looks like it's going to work, you get bigger budgets, then you reflect, you can change things. You've said, here's what we're going to do. And then the fans can say yes or no to certain things and then they'll change it. I'm sure season 2 will look and feel very different from season 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good thing. But,
it should be better. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. It should be better.
We want it to grow. The show will grow. And that is good. And hopefully, too, I mean, I do hope people don't, if you're going to criticize something, just be understand where people are coming from. People are fans of the show. Even the people who were very much like, God, I wanted the books. Right. I even saw those people being attacked as like, oh, you're anti. If you're pro book, then you're anti whatever theme or whatever they're pushing forward in the show, whether that be the power structure, right? The whole female Chandler's having this power and that stuff's in the books, but they just are talking about the sequence of events. They loved that sequence of events, or they loved how things, broke down, or the points of views and just how it was portrayed in the book over what is happening in the show. Now the book has its issues too, but it's just like, I don't think you can, this whole blanket, if you didn't like what we were trying to do here, then you're, and not that everyone's doing that, and not that anyone from the show is doing that, but it just, when this conversation from Sarah, it gets into that territory of people not giving her harsher criticism because she's a female. That's right. One, not okay.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And that sucks. But then also, I want to be able to have a nice back and forth with her about it and not be one of those people, you know, like lumped right. in, like perceived as one of those people. And that's where I struggle sometimes. That's why I keep bringing up those examples of like, I can criticize, you know, Wonder Woman here and praise it here, or sequels here. And, you know, I try to bring this up because I don't know, man, I hate that people want to just lump all of us into one big group or this side versus this side. It's way more, there's way more facets and,
right.
and things that people just don't consider. And it's just an easy blast on Twitter. It just sucks.
Right. And then you see it on Twitter and then you think, well, this is just how it is, because people perceive everything they read on the internet as like truth. And you just see one little thing, you like it, and then you just keep going.
Right. Right.
You know?
And then unfortunately, the perception here that came right. out of the Sarah Nakamura conversation was that she was getting more criticism than Rafe.
Than Rafe. Right.
And that sucks because, you know, like that wasn't, I don't think that's what she's saying. But again, that's
no, you really, it, you know. It is the perception. I mean, when I first read it, I was like, wait, what
is
she saying?
Perception based upon commenters on Reddits and different things like
right.
that.
Right. I read it once and I was like, hold on a second here. And then, you know, you really have to sort of read her thing. And there is an Instagram. And if you watch the Instagram video, I would share it, but, you know, I don't want to pull her Instagram without her permission. It is the tone. Again, this is the difference between sometimes you read something and you watch something and the tones right. are totally different. Yeah, the tone on her Instagram video feels very different than the tone of just a transcript. And so again, this is a transcript somebody typed up, but it is accurate because we watched it.
Yeah.
If they feel different, right?
For sure.
You know, sometimes you can text somebody something and it's like, what are they saying? Yeah. You know, you feel like they're yelling at you, but they're not. So you never know.
And also people's perception, individual perception as well, too. You know, I don't know if get people talking to other, like maybe there was one writer or there was someone else. And, right. you know, that's just she's only looking at her inbox. You know what I mean? She's right. only looking at that. Yeah. Maybe she is talking to other people, too. I don't know. But
right. yeah. yeah, I mean, look, I mean, for me, it's like if you are somebody who vehemently, like I very disliked episode 8, I think it's bad. I wouldn't say I like hated episode 8, certainly not enough to like issued death threats, hated it. Yeah, but crazy. To me, it's like the blame for episode 8, if you really didn't like it, like if I'm gonna blame somebody, I am pointing squarely at Rafe.
Yeah.
yeah. Why would you blast a consultant for something? Like that's not their job is to say hey, and then the other person can decide yes or no.
Right. Yeah.
So again, even more so, you have a roadmap called the books. Then you have a roadmap of a lore consultant who's like, yes or no. Now she says she agrees with everything they did, but maybe she does, which is fine. We don't know the way it's going to go. Maybe she wants to keep her job. I've said my boss makes good decisions when they don't, you know, just because whatever. But I mean, if you're going to blame anybody, if you're in that group, I mean, you got to Rafe's the person to blame if you really, really, really hated it.
Yeah. And if you want to, you can throw the director in there and you can keep going. I mean, you know, because he did write it. And
well, director just directs what was written. They direct the script.
Well, which is why I go back to Wonder Woman thing. People give Patty Jenkins so much praise. But like you said, Zack Snyder wrote it. But like if you said, right. well, he should get all the praise. I mean, it's still
team director. Right. Because directors do get interject stuff here and there and stuff like that. But
and they make.
But I would say the majority of the script. Yeah. Yeah.
And also it's dual. It's a double edged sword because he's not just the writer. He's also the showrunner. You know, I think when you're in, you get kind of that actually like Jon Favreau, when he writes stuff, it's like, and he's also working with the director, but he's over. He hired that director. You know, he's a part of that hiring process. So. It really, you know, that's the difference between just a regular writer, I think, a writer who's, I think, I don't know. And again, I hope if they want to come out and correct us, come on this show. By God, I would love to learn more about it. I think it's fascinating, you know, how everyone works together. Because you get all those awards, you get all those, like whether something was well written. And then those writers, when they come up on, they get their award, they're thanking the director and all these other people who were involved, you know, because it just because it's well written, it has to also be, there's, you know. There's that visual combat has to be visually, I don't know. Right. It all works together. Yeah.
Well, it was well written to begin with by a guy named Robert Jordan.
Absolutely. So,
I mean, it was well written in the first place.
Yeah. Are the numbers still pretty good? pretty good. Is it?
Yeah,
still
the numbers, the streaming numbers
really high. Yeah,
the streaming numbers were great. I mean, season one was was a success.
Absolutely,
it was a success. It's greenlit for season two. It's greenlit for season three. I mean, first of all, the difference of season one to a season two. Okay, when you go in to do a season one, you have to do that is probably the time in which you do the most amount of work because you have to create sets, all this stuff from scratch.
Yeah.
When you enter season two, you've got the process down. You're experienced. You can improve on stuff. You've already created the sort of first general look and feel of things. So the second time you go to create armor and stuff like that, first of all, you've got a lot of it. You've got a lot of the props done. You just use the same props and stuff like that. And then, or you make new ones and the process, it's like the process from a season one to a season two is so much less. I don't want to say it's less work. It's just, it's different. You've done it before. The experience is there. And a lot of times you do already have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I just want to say
backgrounds, logos, intros, like they don't have to make the intro ever again. That's done.
Yeah. The intro is great, by the way. It was sick. I'm just pulling up more of the writers here again. Yeah. I feel like I wanted to look up some more of these, right? Cause episode four was written by Dave Hill. Fantastic. The Dragon Reborn.
He worked on Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah, was great. And then, God, you had episode three, A Place of Safety, the Clarkson twins. Like that was, I think that was the Dark Friend episode. But like, there are elements in those episodes that are going to happen anyways. Those people were just chosen to write them. So, you know, you look at like people like the fact that that's episode two might not be as thrilling as episode three. So it's not a writer's. That's the other element too, is the story moves on and you're writing a filler episode, right? Like a long sort of tracking through, and that's tough. You might not get the same glory or praise that the guy who got to write episode three or four got.
Right. But you were told, hey, we need this to be,
we
this
have to set
type
this
of a thing
up for that. Like it's all working together, you know? So I don't know. I think it's fascinating. And I like talking about it just because, and I want to be able to talk about it in a way that's constructive criticism and that's fun. And when you see stuff like this, it just is sad. It makes you feel bad because I'm sure because that's not the first person who's come out and said that kind of stuff, Matt. I mean,
Mandalorian, yeah. Which is like, I think like the number when it's on, it's like the number one streaming show. I mean, it's like amazing. Absolutely. The Mandalorian feels like it. There are episodes where you could say that's a filler episode.
Yeah. 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 Oh,
it's part of the thing. I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the problem though is a lot of shows that have like filler episodes are shows that are being written from scratch, like The Mandalorian, as opposed, not that Wheel of Time has a filler episode. They haven't had like a filler episode.
Right.
But it's like we have X amount of time to do all of this, which is an insanely daunting task in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I don't know. To sort of sum it up, first and foremost, nobody should receive death threats for any reason.
Get a lot. Like, yeah.
Again, unless you're a terrorist, right? And it's okay to dislike it. It's okay to like it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's unnecessary to just send somebody death threats and blast them over, you know, a lot of. This stuff, it's a TV show, guys.
And the other thing too is 100%, I agree with everything Matt said. And like, be careful of the lumping people into one just because they have one particular opinion about one decision in one episode or even in a number of episodes that you all of a sudden can attack. Even just commenters, we have this crazy. I've never seen anything like it. But people just commenting and attacking one another, calling each other names because they didn't like a decision that was made in episode three. And you're like, they just didn't
I thought the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones was good necessary. Idea. I liked it, man. You know, I was like, wow, what an interesting decision.
Can't believe it. There's a modern, you know, connection here.
Who gets the blame for that? Is it the guy who didn't edit it out? Why was there a Starbucks cup?
Right.
Amelia Clark. I think it was actually Kit Harington's Starbucks cup. Why was there a Starbucks cup on set, like on the thing in the first place?
Is it
who's the blame?
Is it the cup that was promised Exactly. Will there be something? Are they hinting at something to come in the Winds of Winter book? No, I know, man. It's crazy.
I thoroughly enjoyed episodes 1-7. I vehemently disliked episode 8. I'm ready for season 2. Yeah. And I think it's time to dive back in the books until season 2.
And that's what we're going to do, friends. By the way, so shout out to Sarah. She's wonderful. If she ever wants to come to the show, we'd love to have her on. Rafe as well. It would be fantastic.
I don't know about that. No,
Matt, come on. If you're Rafe, you have to think. I mean, you put yourself out there. One more thing. Like, you are putting yourself out there for
acclaim
and criticism, right? Like, you're going for it. People,
if we ever do get Rafe on the show, Ez is going to be like, all right, I want to ask him all these real time questions. And my first question is like, what did it feel like when you got dunked face first on Survivor?
And that is why he'll never come on.
He'll never come on.
But like, oh man, and that's the comedy bit to it. Like, I feel
when
like
when your light was, that's the thing. I don't know if I should trust him or not, because his light was literally extinguished on Survivor. Okay.
Dark friend.
Is how can he fight for the light when he has none? I think he's a dark friend. He went dark side.
That's a really interesting. When you first brought that up, I lost my mind, because like, is he the showrunner that was promised? That was so funny. And that's what we want to do, man. We want to have fun with it. And I don't know, if I were him and I found a couple guys joking about, like, we're just like, we want the show to be successful, you know, but like, you gotta poke the bear when you can.
You know, look, you know, at the end of Survivor, when there's only two people left, they bring like all the cast on, right? Yeah. So, and then it's a group of all the people that have had their light extinguished. Sounds to me like it's a dark friend social.
Social. Oh my gosh. He was a part of that. Which, yeah, there's the question to leave you on. Will we see that dark friend social? Will there be something like that to start off season 2? I think that would be fascinating. People cloaked and hood and all that good stuff. So anyways, friends, yeah, leave us a comment down below. Let us know what you think. I mean, like, are you looking forward to season 2? Did you like season 1? And how do you feel about, like, you know, criticizing things or praising stuff, whatever, like all that kind of stuff? So we've been talking about this whole episode, and it's kind of a weird, touchy thing, I think, sometimes for people. So leave us a comment down below. Let us know what you think. And as always, remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, and with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, all made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.